To the questioner, I would like to point out that in this transition phase from OLC, from medical OHA into OLCC, there is the issue that the patients own the plants. And so there is a pathway through this process and this transition so that the patients either get those plants back or get appropriately compensated for those, because you have to do that because they own it, and you're fixing to go into a situation where they don't own it anymore. So keep that in mind as you begin to make those transitions.
And that's probably something that should be written into the personal agreements. And I meant to mention this. There should be a written personal agreement now with every single patient you have. And it has to comply with the regs on that. And the important thing is to make sure that the magic language in there is that the patient is assigning the rights, title, and interest to the excess product, medicine, to the grower.
Robert, what about seeds? So I understand the clarification on moving things across in terms of plants. What about seeds and other genetic materials?
Well, are you talking about the startup, I assume? What the rules are that once you're issued the license, there's going to be a 90-day window that you can get your starts from any source. So you have a source for seeds, you can get the seeds and bring them in and begin propagating them.
That's supposed to expire at the end of the year, he said.
That is something that we're going to have to take up. If the license isn't issued by that time, then we need to see how the OLCC will deal with that. I think when the rule was written, they anticipated all the producers would have been filed by now. So
if you have the seeds, though, you can transfer the inventory.
Yes,
right?
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Robert. One question over here.
Hardy Lee, Convergent Pacific. I'm an engineer, so since you mentioned the land yields, say the county allow you to grow currently, how, as a potential grower, would you worry the policy change 5 years later or 10 years later?
Are you meaning the land use change?
Yeah.
The way the land use rules work, they're pretty much in stone. The land use has developed a long time ago. It has suffered very little change. So I think as making an investment in a business over long term, there's a lot of certainty and clarity about land use rules and that they're not going to be changed out from underneath an existing situation. But again, that's going to be subject to the local politicians. And that's why I say get out and vote cannabis.
And the deadline to vote for the May primary is Tuesday or Wednesday.
So say I'm the facility owner right now. A grower approach us. I want to lease your property, a box of food, like the senator mentioned earlier. So we're not worried about this contract. It's going to be, you know, turned down in 5 years because the legislature or the local rule, you know, govern them not able to continue the lease.
I can't speculate as to what's going to happen in a specific situation, but there's a lot of certainty and clarity presently that, and looking back, there's not been a lot of changes in that area.
Just a small clarification. You said you could transfer your medical to rec and you had a 90-day window. Was that for vegetative plants or was that for any plant?
It was explained to me 2 hours ago by Will from the OLCC, it could be flowering plants.
You know, it's for a long time we've been required to at least on the medical side, you know, we're restricted to 6 plants per patient, and we were only allowed 18 seedlings or immature plants, you know, to get started. That rule has changed, and now you can have your 6 plants, but you can have an unlimited number of immature plants, and that distinction is flowering versus non-flowering. So one of my friends commented what kind of reaction that the law enforcement community might have when they fly over somebody that's got 20 acres of starts growing, you know. And that's part of the dynamic, or the part of the equation here with this 90-day period where you can get your starts from any place, because it's kind of that magic sort of thing. Where do you get these starts and where do you get the seeds? And that sunsets in a year. And the reason that it's set up that way is so you could get your starts, of course, but once the licensees are granted and there's those certain growers out there that's all they're doing is producing starts, then that's where you go to get your product or other licensees. So that's how you're going to do it.
So OSHA requires aisleways of a minimum of 22 inches in occupiable workspaces. I was wondering if those aisle spaces are able to be subtracted from the overall canopy.
I think if the way the rules are, that it's the canopy that's counted. So in establishing your situation to comply with OSHA, your plan should include that the written plan that's submitted, that your canopy is for the specific canopy areas excluding the aisleways.
Can you elaborate a little bit on this personal agreement? Is that a thing? Is that a form? Is that that's a necessary contract between a patient and a medical grower?
Peter, the rules for the agreement are in the revised rules that came out.
The 77 pages.
The 77 pages, but the agency is not endorsing a particular agreement, and basically they're telling the growers go seek counsel or some other source to get that agreement.
Would that sort of thing give a patient legal recourse against their grower?
That opens up a whole can of worms, because if you start putting in a lot of you know terms and conditions and then remedies and then it's 6 pages long. I'm trying to use a format that is as general as possible on one page that is simple for the patient to understand and read, but it should also lay out what they're going to get and when they're going to get it.
Because I've heard horror story after horror story about growers disappearing on their patients after the season and things like that.
That is a real risk. So that's why the need for the agreement.
And when we were discussing the language for this, part of the dialogue that didn't get adopted was dispute resolution with these agreements. So we're going to see that work out, I'm sure, but it wasn't in the language, so we're going to have to deal with it individually and with attorneys.
All right, thank you very much. I'm sorry, we're out of time. We have to start the next panel. Let's hear it again. Robert Graham, Chelsea, Anthony, thank you very much. I'm sure they will be interested in answering more of your questions and talking to you in the hallway or in the vendors. I think everybody's very excited.